This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. There are reports today that the death toll from yesterday's car bombing at a mosque in Najaf, south of Baghdad, now stands at more than 100 people. Among those killed was one of the most important Shiite clerics in all of Iraq, the Ayatollah Muhammad Bakir al-Hakim. He had been willing to give U.S. occupation forces a chance and was seen as a moderating influence on Iraq's Shiite majority. NPR's Emily Harris has been in Najaf today and joins us. Emily, good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
And there have been some arrests today, according to reports we have here. What can you tell us about that?
That's right. The Najaf police chief just confirmed to me a few minutes ago that six suspects in this car bombing are being questioned in connection with it. There are some reports on wire services that these suspects, some of them at least, have ties to Al-Qaeda, but the police chief here in Najaf wouldn't confirm that or deny it either way.
Emily, you're right at the scene. We can hear what I assume are emergency and recovery vehicles behind you. Can you tell us what it looks like today?
Today, earlier, I'm not right there right now, but earlier I was at the shrine, the Imam Ali Shrine, which is one of the most sacred places for Shia Muslims in the world. And it was just throngs and throngs. Thousands of people had come to this shrine, which is now also, of course, the site of death for Ayatollah Muhammad Bakir al-Hakim, one of the revered leaders. And they were walking down the street chanting, saying, God is great. They have taken Hakim, beating their chests, going through by hand the rubble that was left over after this massive explosion yesterday, oily black dirt sifting through bits of metal, body parts, trying to find something that they could hand over to police or to the hospital that might help. And there were funeral processions, cars with coffins on top going by, of course, to go to funerals, as the death toll in this explosion higher, of course, than the UN bombing or the bombing at the Jordanian embassy.
Emily, have you been able to talk to any of survivors of the blast in the hospital or elsewhere and get their accounts of what they saw?
We visited two hospitals today, and the survivors that I spoke to are still largely in shock. Most of them are suffering shrapnel wounds. They're very wrapped up in bandages. They say they were just going about their business. One man was returning a prayer rug after finishing his Friday prayers. Another was just shopping. There's a huge market around this shrine. And I spoke with the chief pathologist at Najaf Hospital, where most of the wounded were taken, and he has seen a lot of dead bodies. It's his career. But he saw 85 yesterday, and he said this is the first time that he has cried at his job.
Emily, can you help us understand finally what effect, particularly the Ayatollah al-Hakim's death, is likely to have on the attempt of U.S. and British forces to make some kind of transition to an elective democracy and not just a majority religious state?
Well, one thing I'm hearing a lot from people on the street is anger, because they feel that the lack of security in the country as a whole has contributed to al-Hakim's death. That said, there is a power struggle to a degree going on within the Shia community. He was from a older, more moderate-seeing division, and there are some younger Shia leaders who are more interested in an Islamic state. However, it may not switch the balance of power too much, because his brother, al-Hakim's brother, is a member of the governing council and does have quite a bit of authority in the Shia community as well.
NPR's Emily Harris in Najaf. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.